Hello, everyone. Welcome again to Heart to Heart. The Lord our God is coming back soon. And the Lord loves his people. He loves his people who walk in his love and enjoy his ways and love his people. The Lord our God is mightily moving by his Spirit, and his return is imminent. And I mean imminent. Never before has this statement ever had more credibility. I don't take things lightly, and I don't know when the Lord will come back. And Jesus said he don't know. The Father has kept that in his own power, and I greatly respect that. But when the Lord tell you that his return is imminent, that means be on alert. You're not going to get a warning. When he return, he return. That's it. When he return, he return. Ready or not. Why would God do something like that? Why would he come back as a thief in the night? See, the wicked men, the wicked mind will try to play God. They will try to work their will even against God and take him at his word to their advantage. But they're not going to be able to do that. If the Lord raised up credible prophets and they said the Lord's coming back next Tuesday, there are some sinners. They got enough sense to know that this is real. But they don't. See, it's one thing to believe that it's going to happen, but you still want to play with the world. And then it's another thing to believe it's going to happen and say, well, I want to be right with God. Some people want to be ready without being right with God. And guess what? It's not going to happen. Some people want to, they still have a love for the world, and that causes them to have enmity against God. That's why they try to play God as if they're playing a person. And what I mean by playing, you know, somebody to, what's the word? You know how people say, well, he's playing you, son. Or he's tricking you. You can't trick God. You can't get away with that. God noticed. He saw the devil put the thought in your mind. And he saw you, not you, but I mean, he sees when people do that. And he know what they're up to. Remember something about the Lord our God and King. He know the heart of man. He's not deceived by anything we do or anything we accomplish, or anything we attempt. He knew when the thoughts came what we would do. But he loved us so much, he decided to give us a chance. And some of the most low-down people, they realized this. When they got it, when they finally understood his love, they hated how they tried to play God, how they tried to get one over on him. You know, it's a shame that we can think that way. I did it. I wanted to know how to get saved so that if I had a wreck on my mini bike, I'm 10 years old. I wanted to know how to go to heaven. So I listened intently to my cousin when he broke it down to me. Because I wanted to know. Now, that's wisdom. But why not just get to know God before you have a wreck on your mini bike? The world in mind is enmity against God. And I had wonderful parents. I come from a wonderful neighborhood. You know, I had a mini bike in the mid-70s. You know, some people would consider you wealthy if you got a go-car and a mini bike and a bicycle and all them kind of toys. But my dad wanted me to have things, the childhood he always wanted. He loved mini bikes, motorcycles, cars, all that kind of stuff. He loved it. I remember one time he went to Western Auto. He bought himself a bicycle and he bought me a bicycle. He bought me one and he bought himself one to ride with me. And we rode together one time and he never rode again. Nevertheless, I thank God for them days. And we kept that bicycle in the garage. It stayed. I rode that bicycle to work when I got grown. I mean, when I was much older. 18, 19 years, 20 years old. I rode that bicycle all the way to Food Giant. That's a good 5 miles from the house, or 7 miles, maybe, I don't know. But nevertheless, I did it. And I thank God for my childhood. But when you are, the point is this, people can be selfish in that way. Some people have done all kinds of things, but once they realized that Jesus Christ loves them and died for their sin, and they receive salvation and peace and understand, they don't, they want more and more and more. And I thank God for that. And then I thank God for the anointing, when God raised people up and anoint them to do his will. Now, everybody that is anointed, they need to be active. There's a lot of problems. People are still, there's a lot of needs. And this ministry that I do, everything that I ran into, it's like the Lord is helping me to eliminate the little foxes that spoil the vine. There are so many anointed people out there. Before they begin, they get hindered, they get discouraged, not by the world as much as they do by the church, or the tares in the church, or the lack of knowledge that's rampant in the church. Sometimes people get jealous of you, and they won't help you go forward. They won't even put in a good word for you. I mean, it's sad. This world is crazy. But I watch how people do. I'm not looking for trouble, but sometimes I see a lot of things that's just out of place. And I take things to the Lord, and he calls me to see it sometimes. So it's not like I'm trying to see it. It's obvious. But people are people. And God is God. God knows what he loves his people. And I'm like, Lord, how do you deal with this? What do you do? Some things are just too much for me. I don't know how to deal with it. So I got to do what Jesus did. The most primary thing Jesus had going for him was his relationship with the Father. People could point at all the miracles and walking on water, the raising the dead, feeding 5,000 and their family. But guess what? All of that came out of his relationship with the Father. You understand, Jesus did this as a man. He didn't do it as God. Some people thought he did it as God, but remember, he had to grow. He had to learn. He had to grow up. He was born. All the knowledge, when he made all the earth, all the planets and people and all the things he made, that knowledge was stripped. When he was born as a man, he had to learn just like me and you. And he still pulled it off because he had a relationship with his Father. And he did all that as a man. He took over Satan's realm as a man. He defeated Satan as a man. And the Lord backed him. He kept looking to the Lord and kept being covenant appropriate. He had to learn what the prophets said. He had to go by that. I saw a video, I think it was Kevin Zadie talking about how when Jesus died and he went to the lower parts of the earth for us, he went to hell for 3 days. He had to stand on the word. He recited the Psalms. How the Lord wouldn't leave his soul in hell. He believed, just like me and you. And the demons were harassing him, but he believed. When he took the keys of the kingdom of the keys of death and the keys of hell, he took the keys from Satan. And he gained all authority over heaven and earth. As a man, he did this. But he had a relationship. So as I draw near to the Lord, I can't, and the Lord draw near to me as he would. And then when you talk, you say things that are life and godliness. I'm not concerned. You know, it's amazing all by itself the things that the Holy Spirit will cause you to speak. I'm thinking of a brother. When I'm around him, the Lord just give me so much. I mean, it's obvious that when I'm around him, I know I'm going to get a word. I say something to bless him, and the Holy Spirit just come on me and cause me to say all kind of things. Now, that don't happen around most ministers I know. And, you know, you have to ask yourself, why? Why is this? But you go around the right person, and the Holy Spirit just pour the oil on you, and you just talk and don't want to stop. And there are young men that come by and that I know, and the same thing happens. I can talk to them. They want to know. They're hungry for the word. They're hungry. They want to know him. And then people you think would be hungry, they're not hungry anymore. Or it don't, not, you know, I can't, the Holy Spirit, they don't activate my anointing. If I'm around the right people, like when I do these broadcasts, the Lord calls me to say things. And you're going to run into that. But I want, my problem is that I want this to happen for everybody. But see, the Lord is going to do what he does. Now, Psalms 18. Psalm 18. Well, I love the Psalms of David. And I'm going to read what David said. Let's see. I started verse 20, I guess. He said, "The Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands. He hath recompensed me." I encourage you to read the whole chapter. But verse 21 says, "For I have kept thy ways, for I have kept the ways of the Lord, and have not wickedly departed from my God. For all his judgments were before me, and I did not put away his statutes from me. I was also upright before him, and I kept myself from my iniquity. Therefore hath the Lord recompensed me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands in his eyesight." All this is true. Now watch what I'm getting to. Verse 25. "With the merciful thou wouldst show thyself merciful." He's talking about God. "With an upright man thou wouldst show thyself upright. With the pure thou would show thyself pure." Jesus said, "The pure in heart, they shall see God." They'll understand. Now watch this. "With the froward, thou would show thyself froward. For thou would save the afflicted people, but would bring down thy looks. For thou would light my candle. The Lord my God will enlighten my darkness. For by thee I have run through a troop, and by my God have I leaped over a wall. As for his way, as for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all those that trust in him. For who is God save the Lord? Or who is a rock save God? It is God that girdeth me with strength and maketh my way perfect." See, he causes us to be covenant appropriate. This is not just for the few, the chosen few. It's for everybody. It's available to every soul if they want it. If they want to be appropriate, if you want to go through life doing good like Jesus, he's the author and finisher of your faith. As he is, so are we in this world. Why not? Then David, in verse 33, he said, "He maketh my feet like hinds' feet and setteth me upon my high places." You ever seen a hind run from things? Deers can jump. "He teaches my hands to war, so that a bow of steel is broken by mine arms. Thou hast also given me the shield of thy salvation, and thy right hand hath holden me up, and thy gentleness has made me great. Thou hast enlarged my steps under me, that my feet do not slip. I have pursued my enemies and overtaken them, neither did I turn again till they were consumed. I have wounded them that they were not able to rise. They are fallen under my feet." See, with God, all things are possible. Not only can he cause you to be covenant appropriate in your words and your ways and your life, he can make you dangerous to your enemies. I'm talking spiritually. Our warfare is spiritual, not carnal. Carnal weapons are not as good as spiritual weapons. Spiritual weapons, it's like Brother, it's like Henry Groover said, when you fight spiritually, there are no casualties. But see, in David's time, he was a natural warrior. Now, everything he did in the natural, we do in the spiritual. We can stop wars. We can pray. You know, every day I try to pray for Ukraine right now and Israel. This is whenever you see another country attacking another country, always include Israel, because that's the end game. And then pray for this country, America, because the enemy is out there trying to start a war. And in order to be covenant appropriate, we have to go back to the living ways of God. Now, when they tried to build that tower to heaven, the Lord delayed it. That was a delay. He had me to read that chapter before I began this broadcast, Genesis 11. And when it finished talking about the Tower of Babel, and the Lord confounded their languages, and they scattered and they stopped building, you know, he said that they're one and nothing to be impossible to them. He said that was a delay. Now they're trying to do it again. They're still trying to get a one world government going. But this time, the Lord's not going to delay it. This time, when they do it, he's going to fight. See, he put it off. He could have wiped them out and just called it a day, but he didn't do that. He divided our ancestors. And we have to honor our parents. That's a standard, even our ancestors, because if it wasn't for them, we wouldn't be here. You know, some of our ancestors, I'm Gentile, some of my ancestors probably acted stone food. Ain't no telling what they did. But I thank God that he had mercy on not only on them, but me also. And I'm glad I'm in the kingdom of God. Only God knows how crazy people have been in the past and that brought me about. And I thank God that I'm sure they went to heaven, they thank God. And they went to hell, you know, they know that they were lied to. Whoever they are. But those that went to heaven, everybody in heaven are so glad that the Lord saved them. See, it goes back. I didn't finish chapter 18. You'll have to finish. That's a beautiful chapter when it comes to the capability of God and man. But you have to remember verses 25 and 26. With the merciful, thou wilt show thyself merciful. With an upright man, thou wilt show thyself upright. With the pure, thou wilt show thyself pure. With the froward, thou wilt show thyself froward. So God don't act the same way around everybody. And he calls me to be appropriate for who I'm dealing with. Some people don't want to hear you teach. Some people don't want to hear anything of God from you. And they're not going to spend time talking to you long. This is not a racial thing. It's not this is a people thing, because I've seen kin people do it. I've seen friends do it. Some friends listen to the word. Some people don't. Some people are hungrier than others. Some people, they listen and even ask questions, but I'm talking about the response of the Holy Spirit. When I'm around running, the Lord say things that he just put it all together. My words just flow well. That don't happen around most preachers I know. And I love all the preachers I know. That happens around hungry people. Hungry people activate my anointing. I don't know why. You know, who's hungry? How would you know a person's hungry? You have to monitor the Holy Spirit. I don't monitor my friend. I monitor the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to tell you this about him. He loves his wife. See, sincere people just they you know, when it said that when he that finds a wife finds a good thing, God is so pleased when a man loves his wife. It's when I'm around the right people, it activates the Holy Spirit is activated. You know, my anointing works. It does what it's supposed to. But people that don't really want to know it, I try to say things to inspire them. It falls on the ground. But most people, if I explain things, or if we're in a situation where it's a church service and I'm teaching and nobody's interrupting, they seem to like the message. But it's also the verses 25 and 26 are I found it to be so true. I want to be a covenant appropriate every day, and I want to be able to minister life to people, help people. You'll be surprised what people understand and what people have been through when you talk about the Lord. Some people don't talk about their relationship. They're doing whatever they're doing, but they know better. Remember, it's gonna end up this way at the rapture. Now, at the rapture, people. Now, I want you to think about process this for a minute. Every time the Lord tell me His return is imminent, I get a little bit. What is the word? I have desire to minister to people better. Because anybody that's not merciful, they're going to have a bad day. That's going to be one of the worst days of their life. Up to this point, anyway. Anybody that he have to leave here, see, to the merciful, he'll show himself merciful. In verse 25 and verse 26, David is not talking about God. He's talking to God. He said, with the merciful, you will show yourself merciful. And with the upright man, you will show yourself upright. With the pure, he's reflecting on what happened and how God is. All this is true. Verse 25, that's true. With the pure, thou wilt show thyself pure. And with the froward, you will show yourself froward. Now, that's what I said, man, I wish I could just minister to people and people that's hard-hearted, forward, won't listen for their own benefit. How do I reach them? What can I do? You know what? Sometimes if it's, you know, if you're covenant appropriate, you can do something for them if you can do something for them. Now, the Lord know that we struggle. We want to see the best things happen for all of our kin folks and loved ones, and people, whoever, you know, your spouse, your children. In the bunch, we got some way with people, and they won't do right. And when it's time to listen, they do something else, and they always got a reason not to do what God said do. And you know that there are five wise virgins and five foolish virgins. And when the day come, people that's not ready won't be ready. And they're going to be caught off guard. Remember, to the froward, God is going to show himself froward. David is talking to God in verse 26. With the pure, thou wilt show thyself pure. Hooray for them. With the froward, thou wilt show thyself froward. Oh, my, for them. But see, we know Jesus is willing to save them from their sin and erase their iniquity. Paul did all the things he did. I was telling a friend yesterday how he went to, you know, he cast Christians in jail, had some killed, was on his way to put arrest some more when he ran into the Lord on the road to Damascus. And from the time he asked, "Who are you, Lord?" he was a changed man because he believed. And Jesus said, "I'm Jesus. Why do you persecute me? It's hard for you to kick against the pricks." He knew what Jesus said, but those words were forever etched in his heart. He was a new man, a new creation, right there. before the conversation was over, he was a saved and changed man. And then, see, you can tell because immediately the Lord told him what to, let's look at it. Let's just, you know, sometimes I reflect on the scriptures, but let's look at this. It is worth Acts chapter 9. See, the Lord loves his people. Now watch, here it is, Acts chapter 9, verse 1. And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest. Let me read that again. Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest, and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound into Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what will you have me do? You see that? Verse 6, he stopped being Pharisee Saul. And he began to be Christian Saul. He had hope for once. Now watch what happens now. And the men that journeyed with him, speechless, hearing a voice but seeing no man. They didn't see the glory. That's the light. They didn't see. They heard the voice. But they didn't see it. They didn't see anybody. And Saul rose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no man, but they led him by the hand and brought him to Damascus. Now we know later on, what they heard was the instructions of Jesus to Saul. Okay? They didn't hear this part, where the Lord said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. Because they were going to put Christians in jail. But what they heard was the instructions of Saul to go to the street that's called straight. Okay? And that's why they brought him to Damascus. And he was 3 days without sight, neither did eat nor drink. And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias. And he said, Behold, I am here, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, Arise, and go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he prayeth. So they took him to Damascus. They heard that much. You know, I'm a little rusty on this, but one time I did a devout study on this. And they heard segments of the conversation. Remember, Saul is the one who saw the glory of God. And he fell out. And then he said, Who are you, Lord? And from verse 6 on down, he's a new man. Sometimes the people that's pure in heart, they act just like Pharisee Saul right here. Now, where do those pricks come from? It's hard for you to kick against the pricks. In chapter 8, he was holding the coats for the men that was stoning Stephen, and he happened to hear Stephen's message. And it convicted him, being a Pharisee, and he humbled himself. He became a person, you know, the Lord knew how to win us. He knows how to deal with us, even if we're a little crazy. So when the rapture happens, some people that get raptured, they might have been just as bad as Pharisee Saul, but they were on the verge They, you know, the word was pricking their heart. Faith was forming in them. And from the time that Saul heard the words of Stephen, faith was forming in him, but his mind wasn't renewed. See, the Lord deals with the heart. And at the right moment, Jesus appeared to him. See, the Lord's got a plan for the living. He will not leave a living man here to go through the tribulation. Now, when I'm not talking about Satan's tribulation. I'm talking about God's judgment. See, he put Satan under our feet. You let the rascal in it. Our man let him in the world. Man got to keep him underfoot. So he's not trying to move you out of Satan's way. You need to move Satan out of your own way. You need to keep the Antichrist in the hole that he's hiding in. That's our responsibility. The Lord is coming to move his people out of his way. And everybody that was corrupt and they want to be right with God, don't be surprised if they get raptured. Because when I'm around people and the Holy Spirit give me things to say that he normally don't give me to say, they don't look no different than anybody else. But God know the heart. I just notice the people when he know their heart. You know, I got friends and my brother-in-law's mother, when I'm around her, the Lord do the same thing. But when I'm around others, there's nothing. It's like you can hear the crickets. You know how when things go silent, you can hear the crickets. In the spirit, you don't hear nothing. Nothing rises up, no conversation. But when you're around certain people, the Holy Spirit, they activate your anointing. And they're not even trying. The Lord is motivated for, you know, he knows how to deal with people. So don't forget these things. The Lord's return is imminent, folks. And to the pure he show himself, pure to the froward. Till next time, remember, I love you. God truly loves you.